In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory." Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. That promise, given thousands of years ago by Moses to Joshua, is meant for you and me today, if we're willing to follow the Lord. The reference is Deuteronomy 31:8. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you today about a new book called Glenda's Story. I didn't write this book. My friend Glenda wrote it. Some of you have heard bits from it on this program some time ago. So I want to read to you from my foreword. Glenda kindly asked me to write a foreword for it, and her preface. Abandonment, abortion, abuse, addiction, adultery, alcoholism, alienation, anorexia. Words hardly understood a few generations ago, but now on everyone's tongue, words we can hardly escape if we pick up a newspaper or turn on the television. It's generally taken for granted that these sins and sorrows can be dealt with only by law or by something we heard little about years ago, counseling. The results of such measures are not always brilliant. Glenda's story, comprising all of those A words, reveals the wondrous efficacy of a far older answer, an answer far less frequently sought today except as a desperate venture, the cross of Jesus. Remember the experience of Christian in Pilgrim's Progress? He came at a place somewhat ascending, and upon that place stood a cross, and a little below, in the bottom, a sepulcher. So I saw in my dream that just as Christian came up with the cross, his burden loosed from off his shoulders and fell from off his back and began to tumble, and so continued to do till it came to the mouth of the sepulcher, where it fell in, and I saw it no more. Then was Christian glad and lightsome, and said with a merry heart, "He hath given me rest by his sorrow, and life by his death." Glenda, just a little girl, had no idea that her sufferings were common. She carried the heavy baggage of guilt and fear, had never heard of counseling, and would not have known where to turn if she had. Her story, horrifying proof of the reality of sin and of the perils of living in a broken world, carries us up and out into the radiance of a loving Father who knew her heart, saw her tears, and through his amazing grace led her to that old, rugged cross, of which is said what cannot be said of anything else in the whole world: it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. In the 20th century, as in the first, God chooses the weak things of this world to shame the strong. He chooses the lowly, even the despised things. The wisdom of this age, he tells us, is coming to nothing. There is another wisdom revealed in the following pages: foolishness to those who have not God's Spirit. Yet no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. How very little Glenda knew. What chance did she have of learning? How much human help was available to her? What power drew her all alone to that church on Sunday mornings as a little girl, or to sit under that weeping willow and talk to God? Her simple witness speaks clearly and joyfully. There is no corner of earth where the light of the world may not shine. No heart too wounded to be opened and healed. No evil that our Lord Jesus cannot conquer. And this is Glenda's preface. If this were just a story about my suffering, it would be ordinary, for suffering is as commonplace as life itself. Rather, this is my account of an extraordinary Savior who brings light out of darkness, joy out of sorrow, peace out of pain. You turned my wailing into dancing, says the psalmist. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. Since this is God's story, not mine, I have relied upon His help in telling it. I have trusted Him to keep me as perfectly honest as possible. Memories are sometimes vague. I've tried to include only those remembrances that are clear to me that I might not color the story with subjective illusions. The omission of minute detail in relating some of my most painful experiences was necessary, I felt, for, as it says in Ephesians 5:12, it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. It's my conviction that God has never retracted or qualified His commandment to honor your father and your mother. I have walked a tightrope in this area, for in no way do I desire to dishonor the memory of my parents. How they must have suffered a private pain. My only sorrow is that I could not make it up to them. My prayer is that God will use my story to encourage and strengthen someone who has a similar past, and by this to glorify Him. There's a huge risk in this for me, for my soul is laid bare in these pages. Suppose my effort comes to nothing, and no one is helped. Still, I will have obeyed. Is God not able to keep what I have committed to Him? As this story of my life and of my Father's love unfolds, please do not waste a shred of pity or sorrow on my behalf, for my Father has dealt bountifully with me and will perfect that which concerns me. Now that's the end of the preface to Glenda's story. This is the book that I'm reading from, the book that Glenda wrote. She tells about when she was a nurse. One day, when her clinical duties were finished, she took her usual route back to the dorm, which led through the hospital lobby. A brochure on one of the tables caught my eye as I passed. What were those things? I'd noticed them here and there around the hospital, but had never been curious enough to read one. That day, however, I felt strangely compelled to go back and pick one up. As though moved by an outside force, I made my way back to the table. This is silly, I thought, and I looked around the room to be sure that nobody was watching me. The front of the brochure pictured a cross and an open Bible. It read, God's Four Steps to Salvation. Oh, I thought, religious propaganda. I've tried religion, and it doesn't work. I started to toss it away, but again felt a strong compulsion to keep it. I slid it inconspicuously between my books and carried it to my room. Couldn't hurt to read something religious before I die, I reasoned. And I need to explain at this point, but that Glenda had decided that the only solution was suicide. I like to imagine the grief this must have caused Satan. My soul was dangling over hell by a single thread. I was to be his that night. Then an angel, as it were, placed a gospel tract in my hand. Shortly after I returned to my room, the other girls cleared out for the weekend and it was quiet. I pulled the tract out of my books and began to read. The first thing the brochure said was that God loves me and desires an abundant life for me. It quoted John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, so that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." funny, I thought, if God is God and he wants me to be happy and to experience joy and peace, why can't he just give them to me? As I continued reading, my question was answered. I saw that I could not be happy and at peace because God is holy and my sin separates me from him. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I immediately recognized the truth and knew I was a sinner. I had always felt distant from God, even when I had tried so desperately to reach him through prayer and church attendance. The tract further explained that if I remained in my sin, trying to bridge the gap between God and myself through my efforts, good works, religion, morality, etc., I would remain separated from him in hell forever. But what can I possibly do? I thought. Step 3 made the answer plain. I saw that there was only one solution to my dilemma. God had given his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins. Does that whet your appetite? I hope you'll want to read Glenda's story. It ends triumphantly with the miraculous way in which the grace of God reached down to that poor, suffering woman who had been a sufferer all her life. There is salvation. It's for all of us. God bless you.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.